Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth, radio show ministry hosted by Stan Wadsworth. The show is an opportunity to study God's Word together through careful inspection and wholesome dialogue. Whether calling in or in listening, we welcome our listeners to prepare their hearts and minds for learning that is for living, according to God's Word. Now let's hear from our host.
Welcome, 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 my people. Welcome back to another session of Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth, Tech Talking Religion. I'm glad to be back, and I'm glad to get back with you guys. You know, I truly appreciate some of your comments. I truly appreciate the things that you've contributed. You have to pardon us. These are the notifications coming up. They're not supposed to, but... I appreciate my people. I appreciate the likes. I appreciate the love. I'm really appreciative, and I'm glad that this ministry is serving some type of purpose as it was intended to. For today's session, this is something that's a little dear to my particular heart. I only have 15 minutes, so we're going to get right to it. But the topic of it is if you doubt your salvation, does that mean that you're not truly saved? And, you know, throughout various times in my own personal life, I've had this consideration, if I just must be honest. I don't think there's too many Christians that haven't at some point or another doubted what they claim to profess. I think as we go a little further into things here, we'll find that doubt may be a healthy occasion for a spiritual checkup. And we can find that in 2 Corinthians 13, you'll find about examining ourselves. In spite of what we may think about, the Bible is clear concerning this matter of doubt. We just need to be well-versed in God's Word is what part of the problem is to sustain us in these times of doubt. There's various reasons why we have doubt, but particularly some of the stronger reasons are is the presence of sin in our lives. Hebrews 12:1 speaks of a sin that so easily entangles. Many true Christians struggle against habitual sins, and this may cause them to doubt their salvation. And that's what, I'll be honest with you, my attitude and my thinking about certain things that were happening in my life that were hard. And it required some tenacity on my part, but along the way I had my peaks and valleys of being strong and weaker in my faith, but at times I doubted. And it's because of the things that were going on in my life. It's important for us to recognize that in spite of Christians being a new creature in Christ, everyone still sins. We stumble in many ways, James 3:2. No one reaches a state of absolute sinful perfection in this world. However, the difference for the believer is the attitude towards sin and the response to it. Our attitude towards sins, I know it sounds a little confusing, but simply put, a true heartfelt believer is, yes, a born-again natural sinner. But the thing to remember is that, to remember faithfully, is your new position in Christ from God's perspective. Scripture clearly tells us we're new creatures. That's what we need to accept and to begin to live from that perspective. In Romans 6:1, which is really clear about this matter, because some of what we're about to talk about is what Paul addressed in terms of believing how you manage your faith. In Romans 6:1, it says, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase?" Because we all know that we're saved by Jesus' grace. Paul says, "By no means," in Romans 1. Verses 3 through 4. Go on to say, don't you know? These are letters that Paul are writing back to people concerning matters about sinning. Don't you know that all of us were baptized into Jesus Christ? Who were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with him, baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Romans 6, verses 3 through 4. You can just start at the beginning. Verses 17 through 18 of the same book in Romans go, but verse 17, but thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the patterning of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. This is Romans 6, verses 17 and 18. In God's economy, faith is from the heart. The heart is our truest indicator of our allegiance to God. Think of it this way. Just as our heart dictates how we consider and obey our earthly parents, or currently are obeying if we're under their tutelage, the same principle applies to how we consider, worship, and obey God. Our heart feelings toward God is a direct representation of how, where we are in terms of our loyalty. Another reason I find that people doubt their salvation is the absence of godly works in their lives. Paul wrote in Titus 3:14. Now, I want you guys to go back and look at these for yourself. Let our people learn to devote themselves to good works so as to help cases of urgent need and not be unfruitful. Titus 3, along with 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, are considered one of the three pastoral letters. Titus is, and along with 1 and 2 Timothy. And in this quick chapter, this is where Paul closes out with a last reminder to those that are saved, and that they're saved not for their own good, but for a purpose. Well, I'm sorry, not for their own good, which ultimately is for our own good, but Paul is specific that we devote ourselves to good works so that we won't be unfruitful. Good works is part of being a Christian. Verses 3 through 5 of Titus, at one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us. Not because of our righteous things we had done, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. In these verses, Paul's reminding the readers that all people, including himself, originate from the same sinful nature. He lists some of the attributes of our ungodly behavior: malice, envy, hating. Anybody identify with those? Versus the holy ones, the love and kindness of our Lord. It's not something we may be able to achieve, but we should certainly aspire to this level of holiness in our lives. So what do we do if doubt creeps in? First of all, we believe. We believe that the word of God is true. The Spirit of God will assist us in our Christian efforts regarding this. In 2 Timothy 3:16, I'm reading from the Amplified Bible. It's a little expanded. It says extra stuff, but I want so to help you to get an understanding. All scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed, given by divine inspiration. So it's given by divine inspiration. And it's profitable for instruction, for conviction of sin, for correction of error and restoration to obedience, for training in righteousness, learning to live in conformity to God's will, both publicly and privately, behaving honorably with personal integrity and moral courage. The Lord instructs us, and he's clear. The scripture is God-breathed. We need to believe that it's the word of God. So that way we can do away with any second guessing of anything that we may read. We should believe. And the second thing we should do is pray. Prayer is our communication with God. We can have that assurance that he hears us in our prayers and knows our hearts. According to 1 John 5:15, there's confidence, it says, we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Anything. He knows our hearts. He knows all things, your strengths, your weaknesses, your motives, your intentions, etc. So why would we worry if our prayer is weak or interrupted by some thoughts or etc.? We have to press forward with a determination and a determined mind that God knows all things. He says that he'll hear us. He said that he hears us. And I'm saying that he's not a man that he can lie. You don't believe that? Go look in Numbers 23:19. It's clear. When God tells you something, you can take it to the bank. Okay, so we should believe, we should pray, and we should examine ourselves. In 2 Corinthians 13:5, Paul tells the people of Corinth that were questioning his authority and as a prophet of the living God. He told them that what you need to do, remember this is the inspired word of God, so this is what we need to do, is examine ourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Jesus Christ is in you, unless, of course, you fail the test? 2 Corinthians 13:5. So we do need to acknowledge our, examine our Christianity. He recommends to the brothers and sisters of Corinth to examine themselves. And we should likewise examine ourselves and our Christian thought processes, our Christian actions, our public and private lives. Everything should be mirrored against the Word of God. So it's a good exercise. And that's why I said earlier that I thought the doubt would be a good place to be sometimes, because it may cause you to go back in the Scripture and get some true insight. Okay, so we've prayed, we've believed, we're praying, we're examining ourselves, and we repent. Repenting or turning back from something increases our love for Jesus because we become in a better place and we feel better about it. But not only because we see our evil that we have back from, but it also helps us to see his utter goodness and the grace and the mercy that he's given you when you weren't living right for him. There's something integral, I can't think of a better word, to our repentance. Something integral is what I'm trying to say. To our repentance is not just repenting of our actions, listen to me, but repenting of our heart motives. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah 17:9-10, I believe it is, Jeremiah 17:9-10, but I, the Lord, search all hearts and examine secret motives. I give all people their due rewards according to what their actions deserve. Listen to what God says. He actually examines our hearts and our motives and rewards us accordingly in the day of redemption. So it needs to be something we need to aspire to. So we should repent and turn back from whatever is causing us to be in such a sinful state that we don't feel that we're actually a Christian, even though the Bible tells us that God chose us. We didn't choose him. We can't lose our salvation. We didn't get it. It was given to us. Faith is a gift from God. Proverbs, again, to just confirm what we're saying, Proverbs 4:23. After all, it's from the heart that our mouth speaks and our actions flow. Things originate in our hearts in this particular case. So God checks our hearts and the motives of our hearts. So telling someone you're sorry and not really being sorry, asking someone to forgive you when you don't feel like you've really done any wrong, just to smooth over the confrontation or the differences, it's not a godly action. So in conclusion, though, I think that, yes, even though it's true that we're new creatures, once we surrender our lives to the Lord, our natural inclination is towards sin still. Have you ever had to teach a child to lie? No, we have to teach them to tell the truth. I oftentimes give this analogy that when people come to Christ, we're perpetually like a fish that we catch and take out of their natural habitat, water. They flit and flail until they die a slow death. And why is that? Because they can't breathe. And we, likewise, are forever flailing out of our natural element, which is sinfulness. If it not for the power of the Holy Spirit, we would be unable to ever achieve the holy position that we have through faith in the work of Jesus Christ on our behalf. We would just have to be sinners with no hope. So let us praise God for his love and his faithfulness. I know that he was faithful to me. And his word tells us that he'll be faithful to us when we're not faithful to ourselves. So hold on to Christ's word and don't let it go. And just know that his word cannot err. Just know that his word is what it is, and it is true, regardless of what you may think or what you may believe. I love you. God bless you. Until the next time. Bye.
Wanna learn, wanna love you, Lord. So may